Chapter 16, A True Home. All night long, the party raged at the Real Heartwood Hotel. Honey flowed, salted acorns steamed, and the hearth glowed with a crackling fire. Mr. Heartwood sent Tony to check and make sure the wolves were really gone before he lit it, and they were. But even so, the animals were extra careful about the smoke. Two crows sat on watch above the chimney, fanning it away. Those who were there and had seen the wolves flee described the spectacular over and over. But the story never grew old. Some even wrote about it in the guest book. The lanterns had done their job. They would have to collect them later, but not right now. Right now, it was time to celebrate. Sybil sang Miss Prickle's dance. Mr. Higgins and Miss Higgins were sharing seed cakes. At last, Miss Higgins seemed to be over her cold, though she still seemed tired, ready for hibernation, perhaps, and a true rest. Mona spied Tilly near the buffet and went over to talk. She wanted to find out exactly why the squirrel had stuck up for her at breakfast. But before she had a chance, Mr. Heartwood took her aside. Miss Mona, if you please. What is it, Mr. Heartwood? She asked. His eyes crinkled. The heart and spirit you showed today, now I know. It's the same spirit I saw in the mouse pair long ago. What do you mean? Mona's heart began to race. Mr. Heartwood's eyes were soft. It was long ago, when the hotel was simply known as a Fernwood. Few frequented our doors, and I was beginning to doubt whether we could make a go of it. There was a storm much like the one that you arrived in. Two mice knocked on the hotel door. They were drenched and had no money. All they had was a suitcase with a heart on it. I took them and it let them stay in a small room. The same one that Sybil stayed in when she first came here. Miss Madeline loved Miss Prickle's seed cakes, and Mr. Timothy was quite the carver. Through the wind and the snow, they stayed. When spring came, it was time to go. They were so thankful, so full of heart, that Mr. Timothy carved the heart in the room and the one on the door, burst Mona. Yes, said Mr. Heartwood. Yes, indeed. You think they were my parents, Madeline and Timothy? Of that, I can't be sure, but I have a feeling in the heart. Right here, he patted his chest, it was they who convinced me to change the name. I was reluctant to the name after myself, but they insisted I should. That it was, and way to show everyone there is true heart in the Heartwood. Mona gasped. She was so proud. Not only had her parents stayed there, they had helped give the hotel its name. She couldn't help herself. She threw her arms around the badger in a hug. There, there, little one, he said, patting her head. That was just for you. But the next piece of news for you as well. I'd like the whole house to hear me tell. Mr. Heartwood took stage with Miss Higgins beside him as Mona's thoughts swirled. So her family had stayed at the Heartwood and her suitcase. The heart on it. It was the very same heart as the one here. But just as she had thought, she remembered her suitcase. She had lost her suitcase. She must have dropped it on her rush back. Her thoughts were broken by Mr. Heartwood's voice. I have an announcement to make, he declared, straightening his tie. Miss Mona, would you please step forth? Mona didn't know what was going on. She looked at Tilly, but Tilly shrugged. Clearly, she didn't know either. Even after all the fear and excitement of the day and the news of her family, Mona's heart quickened as she walked up on the stage. Miss Higgins, if you please, said Mr. Heartwood. And from her pocket, Miss Higgins produced none other than Heartwood Hotel key. The hedgehog passed it to the badger, who placed it around Mona's neck with a big toothless grin. His voice was gruff, but choked with emotion as he said, Mona the mouse, this key is for you. You're one of Heartwood's loyal and true. The key was made of wood with a heart-shaped top, like the heart on her suitcase. She had that suitcase for as long as she could remember. But as she touched the key around her neck and everyone clapped and cheered, she realized she didn't need it anymore. After all, she wasn't going anywhere. Maybe someone else would find it. Maybe it would take them somewhere special, like it had taken her. The more she thought about it, the more she was certain the heart on her suitcase had been a sign, especially if her parents had stayed here too. Home is where the heart is, thought Mona. And the Heartwood Hotel was a very fine home indeed. And then, when the clapping and cheering began to fade, Miss J, who was standing on the table, with a tiny cup of honey, raised her glass and said, "Well, this is a first. I didn't think so at the beginning, but after this, I must say this hotel will be getting a 5-acorn review in Pinecone Press." Now that's caused a kerfuffle. Miss J was the reviewer for the Pinecone Press. Mr. Hartwood was astounded. Everyone was astounded. But bugs are... Gills stammered. "Well, at the Hartwood Hotel," course reminded Mr. Hartwood. "Guests, big or small, we will welcome all. I believe we are in need of some renovations at Hartwood for bug-sized rooms. Perhaps, Miss J, you would be so kind as to offer your consultation." "It would be my pleasure," she said. "Now, Sybil, if you please," said Mr. Hartwood, and the Swallow took the stage again, and a new song filled the air. That's when Mona noticed Tilly wasn't there. She wasn't in the dining hall or the lobby either. Where had she gone? It wasn't like Tilly to leave her the action. Mona scampered downstairs, but Tilly wasn't in the kitchen or in the bedroom either. And then Mona thought of a place she'd go if she wanted to be alone. And she began at once up the stairs, up, 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 all the way to the stargazing balcony. It was crisp outside, the moon full and bright in the sky. One animal sat alone on the balcony, staring up at it. Tilly, her big tail was wrapped around her. She was shivering, or maybe she was just crying? Mona stepped tentatively toward her. "Tilly, are you okay?" Tilly looked up at Mona. Her fur was wet around her eyes. She sniffled. "Congratulations on your key, I mean." "Thanks," said Mona, taking a seat beside her, not knowing what Tilly might say next. "I remember when I first got mine, I was so sad." "Sad?" Mona was surprised. "What do you mean?" "My family, I lost them coming here. We were all planning to visit the hotel, but on the way we were attacked by a coyote. Only I escaped." Tilly gulped back and sobbed. At last, Mona knew. So that was Tilly's hurt. It was a big one. Tilly continued, "When I found the hotel, Mr. Hartwood took pity on me and offered me a job. He saved me from going back out there. Finally, I felt safe, and then you came. I was afraid you might take my place and I would lose my new home." Mona couldn't believe it. All this time, she thought Tilly didn't like her, but that wasn't the case at all. But Mr. Hartwood never said, "I know," said Tilly. "It's just that I've been afraid for a long time. Ever since I lost my family, I never used to be so grumpy, you know. I can't even remember my family," said Mona softly. "But I know you, and I know the hotel. This is my family now. I've realized that." She rested her paw on Tilly's. "Really?" said Tilly. "After everything I've done?" Mona smiled. "Everyone knows squirrels can be trouble. Wasn't it you who told me that?" Tilly laughed, and Mona did too. And then Mona felt something cold tingle on her nose. She looked up. Stars were falling. No, not stars, of course. It was snow. Tiny, twinkling snowflakes falling from the sky. It was the first snow at Hartwood Hotel. And Mona was certain it would be her last. The end.